So your Bible should be open to Ezekiel chapter 30. A couple of things before we begin to read. In this chapter, we consider Egypt in the day of the Lord. That's a very significant expression. This expression, day of the Lord, is found 14 times in the Old Testament. Many of those times it's talking about the very last day that's yet ahead of us. But it also speaks of the day of the Lord that came upon certain nations that existed during the Old Testament time. Now, we notice in this that the very same signs of the heavens are seen during Egypt's day of the Lord. In the 32nd chapter, in verse 7 and 8, it tells us what they are. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heavens and make the stars thereof dark. And I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. Now this is a great day of judgment. The very heavens darkened during this black and dismal day. We read about that in the time ahead of us. In fact, it's one of the sure signs that we know that we're in the day of the Lord. When the sun is darkened and the moon does not give her light and the stars of heaven fall to the earth. We read that in Revelation 6, verse 12. Where John said, I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. We also notice, as we read through this 30th chapter, that those nations who were confederate with Egypt are going to also experience the same judgment as Ethiopia, Libya, Lydda, the mingled people, and Chub. I'm not sure exactly what Chub was, but it was a confederate with Egypt. The Lord will also destroy all the idols and images of Egypt. You know, if you go to the higher places of education in the world, they will extol the greatness of Egypt and their gods, their idols, and all of that. But one day the Lord did destroy them. There were many of them, and not a one of them will be left. Not a city in Egypt will escape. And their names, Zoan, No, Noth, Aben, Pibesheth, and Tehophanes. And they're all to be destroyed by an army that's called the Terrible of the Nations. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and his army. And those left alive out of this great battle will be scattered among the nations for 40 long years, and then Egypt is brought back to become a very base nation, never again to rise to any power. So, let's read chapter 30. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, howl ye, woe worth the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen, and the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundation shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Chub and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down. From the tower of Sion shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate. And her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships, and make the careless Ethiopians afraid. And great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he and his people with him, the terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land, and they shall draw their swords against Egypt, and fill the land with the slain. And I will make the rivers dry, and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. And I will make the land waste, and all that is therein, by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of naught. And there shall be no more prince of the land of Egypt. And I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. And I will make Pathros desolate, and will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgment in No. And I will pour out my fury upon Sin, the strength of Egypt, and will cut off the multitude of No. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. The young men of Avon and of Pibeseth shall fall with sword. These cities shall go into captivity. At Tehaphanes also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of her strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus will I execute judgments in Egypt, and they shall know that I am the Lord. It's such a marvel to think about the sovereign hand of God and how he lets this country go for a time after they have done dirt to his people. And then move the heart of the greatest king upon the earth at that time to bring his army down against Egypt and fulfill God's purpose. This is God's doing. And no, as we read on through scriptures and we've seen it a thousand times, God is the first cause of everything that happens on the face of the earth. There he does have second causes, and men do things such as Nebuchadnezzar was a second cause, but God moved him. I think we all agree that the man probably never had it in his heart ever to go to Egypt, and all of a sudden he thinks, I think I'll go. Why did he think that? Because God turned his heart to go. So we go on now with verse 20. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first month, and in the 7th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have broken the arm of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, And lo, it shall not be bound up and be to be healed, to put a roller to bind it, to make it strong to hold the sword. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and will break his arm, the strong, and that which was broken, and I will cause a sword to fall out of his hand. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations, and will disperse them through the countries. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and put my sword in his hand, and I will break Pharaoh's arm, and he shall groan before him with the groanings of a deadly wounded man. And I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations and disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Now, in this next chapter, chapter 31, the Lord makes reference to the king of Assyria and the greatness of his pride, and he compares it to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He talks about how the great king of Assyria went down to the grave and caused great mourning. Now, who was Assyria? Assyria was one of the mighty powers during ancient history. And you'll remember that it was the Assyrians who came to Samaria years before Judah was carried away into Babylon. They came to Samaria and carried away the 10 tribes of Israel back to their country and put them in places they had prepared for them. And these 10 tribes have been scattered in the world ever since. And the king of Assyria, you remember, got a great blow one time when they intended to come and take Jerusalem. You remember the story of Sennacherib. He brought his army. He had tore down the towns all around Jerusalem. So he came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And they began to talk to the Jews that were on the wall and embarrassed them to death. And finally, King Hezekiah took the letter that they had written and laid it out before the Lord. He said, Lord, look at this. It is true. They have beaten down all of these people. And here this guy is threatening to do us damage. And the Lord said, Isaiah, go see the king. And Isaiah went. And he said, listen, not a hair will fall from your head. Don't you worry about a thing. My, I mean, they got us all surrounded out there. This is a big, big army. These people will do us horrible things. But I think he got the message when Isaiah came to him, and that kind of perked him up a little bit. He didn't really know what was going to happen, but I think one of the greatest things that's ever happened in a besiegement happened that night. The angel of the Lord came. And 180,000 Assyrian soldiers died that night. Lord Byron wrote a marvelous poem about that. And he said in one of the lines of the poem, they perished in the glance of the Lord. But Assyria stayed on for a while, and finally they had their demise. And we read about that here in this 31st chapter. Let's read it. And it came to pass in the 11th year, and in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great. The deep set him on high with their rivers running round about his plant, and set out their little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, in the length of his branches, for his root was by great water. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and hast shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness, and strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains and in the valleys. His branches are fallen, and his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land. And the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up for their height, all that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether, lower parts of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. This word pit comes up, I believe, 8 times in chapter 29 and 32. It's not speaking about the bottomless pit, it's a different word. But the word is also translated cistern, or like a funnel. So I don't know exactly what this is talking about. I do know it makes reference to the grave. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused the mourning. I covered the deep for him. I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. Now you can see as you read this, the trees of the field are metaphors talking about the great people of influence in that part of the land. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink water, shall be comforted in the nether or lower parts of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were his arm, that dwelt under his shadow in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Isn't that amazing? You know, God had raised up the Assyrians. He raised up the Egyptians. And now he's tearing them down. Yeah. And that just agrees with what the Bible teaches us. Look in the book of Daniel. He said, I raise up kings. I put down kings. That's our God that does that. So, I was studying through this, trying to figure out exactly how to do this. And I was thinking about all of these countries that the Lord had kind of, what we say, put up with for a time. And then in his times, he judged them. And I thought about this scripture from Isaiah, how it all of this compares to Israel. Listen, you know, almost every nation is going to disappear. But there will always be an Israel. Always. Israel that's gone to the very bottom, so to speak, will one day again be the head nation on the earth. In Isaiah 43, verses 3 and 4, he says, For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He said, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. God did that. When his love is set on his people, it may appear that others are getting the upper hand, but God's people will always, always have the end for God's glory. Okay. Chapter 32 is a lamentation both for Pharaoh and for Egypt. It's a mournful cry for what has happened. I mentioned that the word pit was found 8 times. I told you it was a different word. And it's even different than the one that was used, what Brother Clark was talking about this morning, about Korah and his household going down alive into the pit. That word is Sheol, which is the word for the place of departed spirits, a place for hell. Let's read that. I think it's interesting because it kind of fits, dovetails into this. Turn to number 16 for just a minute. I won't read all of the background, but it's come to the place where Moses has got to make a decision about this guy Korah that was giving him trouble. Look at verse 30. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. There's the word again, the English pit. The word is Sheol, hell. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And then in verse 32 and 33, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. I also want to alert you to one other thing that's going to come up in this 32nd chapter. This kind of came to me some time ago. One of the preacher brethren was talking about those that cause terror in the land. Now, we know a lot about terrorism here in the USA, but we don't know it like maybe other nations do. But there have always been countries that brought terror upon the earth. But God judge them, as you'll see here, and he'll judge those that are doing that thing today. Let's read this 32nd chapter after I get a drink, okay? And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nation, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I lead thee upon the land. I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee. And I will fill the beasts of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountain, and the river shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, and make the stars dark, thereof dark, and I will cover the sun with the cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright nights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. And I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their king shall be horribly afraid for thee when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life in the day of thy fall. For thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. But the swords of the mighty will I cause, by the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nations, all of them, and they shall spoil the pot of Egypt, and all the multitude thereof shall be destroyed. And I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters. Neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their rivers, waters deep, and will cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that wherein it was full, when I shall smite them that dwell therein, then they shall know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith they shall lament her. The daughters of the nation shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt, and for all her multitude, saith the Lord God. You know, this country had all of the pomp, all of the power, all of the great things. And I can assure you that they were puffed up with pride over what they had. That's why I hate it in this land. When somebody begins to say, I'm proud of this, I'm proud of that. You know, I'm thankful. I thank God that He showed me that. I'm thankful for a lot of things, but I'm not proud of anything. I pray God would break any inkling of pride in my life and in your life so that we're not proud of things and be pompous about things as these people were. All of those that were destroyed, brother, they were proud to the hilt like so many in our country is today. And it troubles me greatly that they say that. Amen. They taught me that in the military. You got to be proud. Oh, what? I was proud as a peacock. Man, there was nobody as handsome and dashing as this young soldier. My, I could whip any five men on the earth at just a drop of a hat. I'm a proud guy. Thank God he got a hold of my heart and just jerked all of that and tore it all loose. If you think that's wrong, I'm sorry. I don't have any pride. I hope I don't. I pray I don't. Well, let's read the rest of it, 17. It came to pass also in the 12th year, in the 15th day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, wail for the multitude of Egypt, and cast them down, even her, and the daughters of the famous nations, into the nether parts of the earth, with them that go down into the pit. Whom dost thou pass in beauty? Go down, and be thou laid with the uncircumcised. They shall fall in the midst of them that are slain by the sword. She is delivered to the sword. Draw her and all her multitude. The strong among the mighty shall speak to him out of the midst of hell with them that help him. They are gone down. They lie uncircumcised, slain by the sword. Now watch this. Asher, that's Assyria. Asher is there, and all her company. His graves are about him, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, whose graves are set in the sides of the pit, and her company is round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which caused terror in the land of the living. Listen, the Assyrians were a people of terror. They terrorized the whole country around them, and now where are they? They're in the pit. They're dead. They're slain. God has taken them away. There is Edom. They were in the days of Abraham. And all her multitude round about her grave, all of them slain, fallen by the sword, which are gone down uncircumcised into the nether parts of the earth, which caused their terror in the land of the living. Yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. They have set her a bed in the midst of the slain with all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain with the sword. Though their terror was caused in the land of the living, yet have they borne their shame with them that go down to the pit. He has put in the midst of them that be slain. There's Meshach and Tubal and all her multitude. Her graves are round about him, all of them uncircumcised, slain by the sword, though they cause their terror in the land of the living. And they shall not lie with the mighty that are fallen to the uncircumcised, which are gone down to hell with their weapons of war. And they have laid their swords under their heads. But their iniquity shall be upon their bones, though they were a terror in the mighty of the mighty in the land of the living. Yea, thou shalt be broken in the midst of the uncircumcised, and shall lie with them that are slain with the sword. Now there's Edom, that's Esau's country, her king and all her princes, which with their might are laid by them that were slain by the sword. And they shall lie with the uncircumcised, and with them that go down to the pit. There be the princes of the north, all of them, and all the Zidonians, remember them, which are gone down with the slain, with their terror. They are ashamed of their might, and they lie uncircumcised with them that be slain with the sword, and bear their shame with them that go down to the pit. Pharaoh shall see them, and shall be comforted over all his multitude, even Pharaoh and all his armies, slain with the sword, saith the Lord God. For I have caused my terror in the land of the living, and he shall be laid in the midst of the uncircumcised, with them that are slain with the sword, even Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. One thing ought to be crystal clear. No matter how high people rise to power in this world, they all come to one place. Their breath leaves their body, and they die, and they go back to the earth from whence they came. Listen to me. Just a few more rolling suns at most will land us safe on Canaan's coast. Just a little while, and you'll be like I am. I'm just a step from the grave. I'm going to die soon, but you're going to die right behind me. And what's going to matter? What's going to matter in your life as you prepare to die because you're dying? The only thing that matters is where are you going to spend eternity? You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. What you deserve is hell itself and a lake of fire to fall. That's all any of us deserve. You might say, well, I'm not as bad as he is, or I'm not as bad as she is. But let me tell you, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But thank God that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is one name and one name only, God's Son. Do you know Him? Have you trusted Him? Is He your Savior? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? I'll tell you how I know mine's there. Because I believe. And the Scripture tells me that it was written before the foundation of the world. And the Lord Himself stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And He came to die and to save His people from their sins. And He did. Do you know Him? Do you believe? Is He your Savior? Have you said so? Are you following Him? You're going to die. You're going to die. And it'll come quicker than you want it to. I promise you it will. You're a dying people. Thank God for His grace and His Son that gives us life through His blood. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. You know, I thought this over and over again. I certainly do believe in election. I believe God chose me before the world was. I believe He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was. And I'll tell you this. If you today, if you're willing to come to Christ, He won't turn you away. He doesn't force people, He just makes them willing. And that's different, isn't it? He makes them willing in the day of His power. He does something in your life. Because before, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sin. What can a dead man do? I'll tell you what he can do. He can stink. And that's about all there is. He can stink. So he's dead. And God quickens him. Gives him life. Gives him faith and repentance. He hears the gospel. He believes. He turns from his sin. And he believes Jesus is the Savior. And he's willing to do that. Are you willing? Come to him. I can't help you, but he can help you. He'll save you if you'll come to him. God bless you. Thank you. Brother Craig, anything?
Brother Freeman's coming up.